Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the homebrew meeting tonight. Amen. It's on the St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March. But anyways, so let's go ahead and get into what the Lord would have for us today. Amen. So we're going to be looking at Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 74. But before we get into that, there's a lot that I would like to share from the last time I was here. And of course, that was the Wilderness Truths for Modern Times 74. Now, for all of those that have been emailing me, this is going to be a response to what you've been asking me. Many people have been asking me to share my thoughts on the COVID-19 virus. And wanted me to come and stuff like that. Well, I can't come because of airplanes and not flying and stuff like that. And so I can't answer all the emails because if I do, that's all I'm going to be doing all day. So I'm going to answer that, and I will be sending out what I'll be sharing tonight. And then that will be your answer to your email. So let's go ahead and let's look at some points that we looked at last time I shared. Amen. The first thing is we looked at is we need to avoid, and that's what we looked at, the wilderness of Bethaven. We're in the wilderness of Bethaven, and remember that is a very, very bad place to be. And last month we looked at, the title was Avoid This Wilderness. This is one of two wildernesses that God wanted the children of Israel to avoid, but because of their disobedience, they did not. We need to avoid the idolatry that's found there, the moving backwards and away from God, and the wickedness. Those are the hallmarks of the wilderness of Bethaven, and that is idolatry, the backsliding, the moving away from God, and wickedness. The second point I'd like for us to briefly look at is the rebellion of walking contrary of vanity of one's own mind. And that was the other side of Bethaven, and that was vanity. And the people, the children of Israel, went into Bethaven because there was a vanity of their own mind, thinking that they were better than others, greater. There was this vanity, and this vanity just proliferates, into so many countries and just into so many, even Christians that I know, amen? And so we need to avoid that. The third point that I would like to look at, and this is where America, and I believe the church is, amen? So I believe America is in this vanity of the mind, just this vanity of the heart, and just vanity of so many things, that America and the church is walking away from God because of this vanity of rebellion of their mind. Wow, and that's a tremendous statement. But this was also the same sin at the Tower of Babel. And if you go to Genesis 11:4, sweetheart, if you go ahead and read that real fast, Genesis, the 11th chapter, I would say that the world has not learned anything from the story of the Tower of Babel. World globalism, as we can see, is not God's idea. Sweetheart?
To 7?
8.
Okay. Genesis 11:4, and they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city.
The people, which were only a couple generations removed from Noah, they had this vanity of rebellion in them where Nimrod wanted to build a tower into heaven to kill God. He was known as a great hunter. And this rebellion, the mind, and idolatry, and so forth. is alive and well in America and around the world, and especially in the church today. Amen. I asked God in the past, why this COVID-19 virus? And I asked about 4 or 5 days ago, maybe even a week ago. And I just wanted to keep quiet and just hear from God. And so a couple days ago, the Lord answered me. And this is what He said. He said, "The virus is my latest example that shows I am in charge. This virus is my last example that shows I am in charge. And I am God. I am God and you are not. And I always, always get the final say. I always get the final say." And I believe that is what God is doing with this virus. He's slowing us down. He's letting us know that we're not the captain of our own ship. We're not in charge. He is in charge. No matter what we think we can do, no matter how big and brave and strong we are, that He is God and we are not. He is in charge. And He has ways of slowing us down. I was watching Christian TV a couple days. I think it was yesterday. And Sunlight Broadcasting, which is Jimmy Swagger's program, and they're having their megathon, they're having their telethon, and collecting money now. Well, they couldn't find something else better to do than say, "Hey, give us money." Now, I can understand sharing the gospel and so forth, but wait a minute, I thought that was kind of over the top. And I asked the Lord, I said, "Where is the church in all this? Where is the church in this?" And this is what He told me. He said, "It is cowering in fear like the rest of the world. It is cowering in fear. Either we will be in faith or we'll be in fear. The opposite of faith is fear. And so we're either going to be moving in faith in what God's Word says, or we're going to be moving in fear." And, we should be humbling to ourselves and asking God, and we should be humbling ourselves and asking God to heal our land, before 2 Chronicles 7:14. But no, we're out there collecting money and Jim Baker was out there selling food. And, the church is out there and it's just doing so many things that it needs not be doing. It needs to be directing and focusing people on what God, wants to do. And why I know this is God is because God is affecting us. He's taken away all of our social contacts. He's taken away all of our money. He's taken away all of our pleasure. God has changed the world in 7 days. The last 7 days, every day it just seems to get changed more and more. But this is judgment from God. And the last 7 days, He is changing. He has changed the world. He's taken away pleasure. There's no more sports. There's no more favorite pastime. And all of this stuff has just been been changed. And it's just amazing the way that God has done this. Amen. The world has just been just changed in only a week. And lastly, this is a point that we looked at last time. And that was from 2 Timothy 1:7 that it says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He has given us power. He's given us power and of love. Now, He didn't give us love. God didn't give us love. And God did not give us a sound mind. That verse doesn't say God gave us love and God gave us a sound mind. God gave us that and of, as we looked at last month, was an ability to. So God has given us power through the Holy Spirit, but He's given us an ability to love. That's our choice. He's given us an ability to have a sound mind. As long as we move in faith, we're going to have a sound mind. But when we move in fear, then we're not going to have a sound mind. And God has given us the power, and He's given us the ability to go ahead and to love one another and to have a sound mind. That is our choice. That is our choice. Amen. And that's what I would like to say about the with the COVID-19. And I'll put all that in an email to everybody, but there's so many people who are asking, and so we just need to be moving in God and you know, just stop and just spend time with God and let Him be God. Amen. So let's go ahead and look at what are the truths for modern times, number 74. The verse here is Hosea 7:11 says, "And my people are bent to backsliding from me." My people. You know, you can't be a sinner and backslide. Sinners cannot backslide. Only Christians can backslide. That's an interesting point here, and this is what God was saying, that my people are bent. In other words, they have this desire, they have this ability, they always want to do this. You know, this is something they kind of secretly want to do, to backslide from me. Though they call them to the Most High God, none at all would exalt Him. Wow. Anytime we move away from God, we backslide. Anytime we move into Bethaven, then we have this bent. And we all, as humans, believe it or not, because of our sin nature, we have this bent to backslide. Everybody. Isaiah says we are all as sheep. We have all gone astray unto our own way. We all have that. But as we allow God to work in our life, we allow God to change our heart, we allow God's dealing and judgment in our life, then we won't have this bent of backsliding. We will have this desire to serve God. And the more He works in our life, then the more, you know, we will have that desire, you know, to serve Him. So tonight what I'd like to talk about, so look at the wilderness of Bethaven, and we're going to look at backsliding. Now, to have for the first part of this, we need to have a little bit of understanding of Israel at this time. At this time, there was a divided kingdom. There was Israel, which was one part of the kingdom, and then there was Judah. And Judah was Benjamin and Judah. And then of all the tribes, the 12 tribes, only Benjamin and Judah was in Judah. All the other 10 tribes, they were a part of Israel. And these were the people that were backsliding. Historically, Israel was withdrawing. She was sliding back, and she was leaving her inheritance. She was leaving the Lord who had her inheritance, and she was sliding back from Him. Psalm 16:5 says, "The Lord is in the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot." You know, it's interesting to know that the Lord, for sinners and saints alike, for all people, believe it or not, God is our inheritance. God is our inheritance, because without God, we can do nothing. Amen? Without God, we can do nothing. And so our inheritance, we often think of those people when we die, someone gives us the money, or we inherit it, or whatever. But our inheritance, really, as a Christian, is to be given now. Amen? Our inheritance in God is to be given now. We don't have to wait to die to receive the inheritance that God has for us. The inheritance thing that we have, in, you know, like in the law and stuff like that, yeah, but that's like eternal life. We do not have to wait to die to have eternal life. God wants us to have life eternal or eternal life now, and we know that as we know God, then that is eternal life. John 17:3 says, "Now this is life eternal, that we may know God." Amen? So our inheritance, God is not waiting for us to die, so when we get to heaven, we're going to get our inheritance. Oh no. We inherit. Inheriting only is for those people that overcome. Only those people overcome. And we overcome in this life, and as we overcome in this life, then we will receive those things that God has for us in this life. And then the things that He has for us in the next life, and the things that He has in the next life for us. Amen? God keeps us. He keeps us sinners and faith alive, believe it or not, in spite of our faith. In spite of a sinner not trusting in God and not going to church and reading the Bible and all that. Believe it or not, God keeps that person. Isn't that amazing? How God will keep a sinner, and then hopefully someday that sinner will come to salvation. God didn't just smite him dead and kill him, right? So we're sinners and saints alike. God is keeping us, right? He's keeping us as we are saved, then we're saved under glory, and the sinner is saved into possibly a hope for repentance, and then if not, well then, you know, wow. Amen. And this is whom Israel was leading, and they were leading God. Hopefully Israel was to be an example and a lesson to Judah. Now Judah, of course, was his two tribes, that was Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. As God moved upon Israel to chasten her for sliding back, Judah was able to take note, to take a lesson from her sister. If Judah was willing to learn, she would have been able to correct her ways. Wow. We see lives today. I see lives today. I see people in the news and people that I know as examples for us. The things that we see in people's lives, TV, you know, and people, you know, that we come in contact, we are to look at those lives. We are to look at those examples so that we don't follow after the same mistakes that they made. That's why we see that. That's why that is out there. We see the things that people do wrong, and we go, wow, that is wrong, and I don't need to follow after that example. Wow, I see that person is doing something right, and I need to follow after that example. But sadly, very few Christians look and they follow after, they follow on to an example that they ought not to be going. Amen? We're supposed to go ahead and learn from other people's mistakes. Yes, we are. We're supposed to say, wow, that was a mistake, and I'm not going to become that. I'm not going to follow after that. And the recorded history is in seeing that Judah did not learn and repent. Those 10 nations, the 10 tribes, they did not learn, and they did not repent. She moved into Bethaven. She joined Israel to leave God and backslid into wickedness and unbelief. Finally, she went into bondage. And that's what happened to the Jewish, Jewish people. In 586, the Persians came in and conquered them and took the temple. And then, of course, 516, the second temple was built until 70 A.D. The Romans came in. And it was all because of wickedness. Finally, she went into bondage, backsliding from God always leads to bondage. Let me say that again. Backsliding from God always leads to bondage, which leads to sin, which always leads to death. And that is the way that goes. You backslide from God, you go into bondage. From bondage you go into sin, and then from sin that always leads to death. James helps us here, James 1:15. Then when lust has conceived, lust, not the devil causing us to do this, or the devil making me do that, the devil, it's the lust that is in us, and in our flesh. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. It bringeth forth death. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. My Lord. We need to stop backsliding, amen? Backsliding always leads away from God into loss. Let me say that again. Backsliding always leads away from God into loss. And the first thing that is lost is the amount of work that God has been able to do in your life. That's the first thing that's lost. So if you're walking with the Lord and good things are happening and you're praying for people and reading your Bible and God is using you, then when you start backsliding, you start moving back, then the first thing that is lost, and you don't even know it most often, is the work that God has been doing in your life. And that always, always leads in death. Upon her part, as well as Israel's, there was the refusal to move forward in the revelation which God had given her. always in a backsliding situation, you always move away from revelation. So if God is giving you revelation, you want to, am I backsliding or what? Well, no, that's not going to happen, because when you're backsliding, you always move away from revelation, and we will see that. But Judith, as she went backwards into ignorance, and to the extent of which can be seen in the Gospels, with this very tribe called for and received even the crucifixion of Jesus. So the children of Israel, those 12 tribes, in the northern and the southern, kingdoms, Israel and Judah, all of them together, when they came back in together into one nation, they were the people that said, crucify him, crucify him. Wow. There was a refusal to move forward in truth and sincerity, in sincere dedication to God. There was a refusal. Refusing God. Refusing Jesus Christ. But, they refused to move forward in the truth and the sincere dedication to God. Take heed, my friends. Take heed how subtle this is in our own eyes. Again, this is about vanity. Vanity in our own mind. Bethaven. And this is subtle, and if it happens, it happens so easily. Every day people decide to move backwards into a dedication to idols and self. Every day. I'm talking about Christians now. Remember out there in Hosea 11:7? And my people are bent toward backsliding. So I'm talking about Christians. Everyday Christian people to move backwards into a dedication to idols and self. They come to live in the house of vanity, a place of wickedness and idolatry in various forms. Wow. It is not for the faithful. This is not for the faithful. Wow. How subtle this can be, as I said. How subtle this movement is. It's small, small little steps, small little stop, thoughts, small actions. But we wake up one morning and we have totally fallen out of God. Backsliding happens gradually. It's not a big thing that happens in our life. And you would say, oh, that would never happen to me. Well, I will tell you, that is the way it happens. When you say, that will never happen to me, that's when it begins to happen in your life. That vanity and that pride will, well up in you. But as we go toward God, as we spend time in prayer and read His Word and move in the revelation that God gives us and all of these things, then I will promise you it will never happen to you. But if you are of the attitude and you're a religious person and you do all the religious activities and you go, well, that would never happen to me, I will tell you you're on your way to Bethaven. You're on your way out of God. Amen? Loss of revelation. Loss of revelation. With the change of scenery, we will take a look at something else moving in the connection with this word Bethaven. The second scene is not so much different from the first. More or less, it is the same story in 1 Samuel with different characters, activities, and props. It is the story of Jonathan and the victory which he won and the exceeding victory which followed. But we will focus on his father, that would be King Saul, what he does in the victory. Make no mistake. Even in great victory, let me say this again, even in great victory, God is watching us. Wow. God is probably watching us probably more in a great victory than He is in a great defeat. In a great victory, God is closely scrutinizing us to see how we handle that. We want to be victorious and do all of these things and all these powerful, we're moving for God, all this good stuff. But He's closely looking at our heart and He's closely scrutinizing us and how we relate to this victory with other people and with Him. And as we can see that Saul didn't handle that very, very well, and he was the king. The scene is set in 1 Samuel 14:1. So 1 Samuel 14:1 says, Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young men that bear his armor, come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison, that it is on the other side. But he did not, but he told not his father, but he told not his father. In regards to this escapade, remember that his father at that time was moving not in revelation, but in ignorance. Either we will move in revelation, or we will move in ignorance. Let me say that again. There's only two directions spiritually in God, and either we will be moving forward in revelation, or we'll be moving backwards in ignorance. There's no neutral. Either you're moving forward in God, or you're moving away from God. There is no neutral. So either we're moving in revelation, what God has told us, what we read in His Word, or what He's told us literally, or we're going to move in ignorance. Do not focus overtly much upon the occasion, but rather upon what Saul did. I would say, take heed, my brother, to who we share words, God's word to with us. Amen? We need to take heed to who we share God's word with. Right? Unspiritual people do and always say unspiritual things. Unspiritual people always do and say unspiritual things. And so that is why Jonathan did not tell his father. Jonathan knew that his father was not moving in God. Jonathan knew that his father was an unspiritual man. And this is the spiritual principle, that unspiritual people always do and say unspiritual things. Matter of fact, we should understand that. As Christians, we need to understand, never expect a sinner to act like a saint. Amen? Never expect someone that is unspiritual to do something spiritual. Because unspiritual people can only do and say unspiritual things. We would not know that as a spiritual principle. And that's just kind of the way that is. But Jonathan knew that his father was not moving in revelation. So he did not tell his father what he was going to do. Some years before that time, he began to move in revelation, talking about Saul. 1 Samuel 9:27 says, "And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, 'Did the servants pass on before us?' And he passed on. 'But stand there still a while, that I may show thee the word of God.'" So Samuel was giving to Saul the word of God. The prophet was speaking to Saul here. He was giving revelation. At that time, God really didn't speak to us. They always spoke to prophets. Well, I don't think we need prophets today. We have the Holy Spirit. I don't need somebody to tell me, "Thus saith the Lord." If I do, then I can't hear from the Lord. But anyways, I think there's a lot of, you know, prophets out there that aren't really prophets. But anyway, Samuel here, you know, he received revelations from, Saul here received the revelation from Samuel. Amen? Thus, in the life of Saul, the revelation of God began to move. Matter of fact, Saul, when he was anointed king, the Lord told him, you know, it's a wonderful story how God was moving in his life and God used him to become king. But later on in his life, we can see Saul, that was not the case. But as Saul failed in his response to God and became disobedient, he gradually moved into the wilderness of Bethaven, so to speak. Backsliding and moving away from God, moving away from the revelation, moving away from the things that God has told you, is a gradual process. It's a gradual, and this doesn't happen overnight. You just don't wake up one morning and the next thing you're out of God. It's a gradual process. Our failings today will only increase unless we repent. Take heed. Our failings today will only increase unless we repent. So we need to realize today. We need to realize today if we are backsliding. And then if we can do that, then we can repent. And we won't get caught up in that. Before God, has to show us or move, in our life. Amen? He began to backslide, to move away from God, and consequently out of revelation which God had given him. Saul seemed to forget there was the possibility of Saul's kingdom being established forever. Wow. 1 Samuel 13:13 says, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. So Saul's kingdom could have been established forever, but because of his backsliding, because of his moving away from the revelation that God has given him, we'll find out what happened to Saul. This is God's intention, that we would all be established forever, amen? This is God's intention, that we all would be established forever, and we all will live forever. Everybody that's born upon the earth will live forever. Oh, you know, some will live in heaven and some will live in hell, but that is God's desire, it's God's intention for us all to be established forever, and that will happen. But it's up to us where we will live. Will we live with the Lord in heaven, or will we live separated in hell? It's God's intention for us to be within heaven, but that's up to our choice. That's like with Saul. Saul had a choice, but what he did, he backslid. He moved away from what God wanted. And in Saul's life, it seems that he spent his time after his death in heaven. But that's not my call. That's my understanding, but it's not my call. That's God's call. God gets the final say. God gets the final say, and he goes ahead and he makes that call. But Saul moved back and withdrew his soul from that possibility. He did not continue to move in the revelation in which he had. Thus, forward progression was lacking in the latter life of Saul. He did not move into further revelation, further into the light. He moved backwards into ignorance, backsliding away from God and away from the things that he knew. What has God given us? What revelation has God given us? If we are not moving in that revelation, then we are backsliding. You can go to church every Sunday. You can sing in the choir, you can cut the grass, you can pay your tithes, you can do all those religious things, do all that good stuff, but if you're not moving in the revelation and doing the things that God wants you to do, now hear me clearly, because all those church activities and all of those, you know, kind of have to be done, but if you're not moving in the revelation that God has given you, if you're not doing those things that God wants you to do, then you're backsliding. You're moving away from God. You're moving away from the light. You're moving away from revelation into ignorance. Backsliding away from God. Away from things that he knew. And Saul knew better. Saul knew better. Amen? What God gives us is not for the future. Let me say that again. So many people think, well, God gives me this for the future, and God gives me that for the future, and so forth and so on. Well, that's not true. What God gives us is for us now. And what we do with what God gives us, the revelation that he gives us, the things he gives us, will determine what happens to us in the future. So God don't give us stuff so we can use it in the future. God gives us things now. The power, you know, the sound mind, all those things that I said, you know, that ability, right? He gives the things that he gives us is for us to use now, and as we use them correctly, then we will have the future. Amen? That is kind of the way that works. Will what God gives us be a millstone or around our neck, or will it be a platform? Will it be a platform for greater and more revelation in our life? Now, I'm going to stop for a second and let that kind of thing in. Whatever God has told you to do, whatever revelation God wants you to do, I mean, whatever that is, and you know that, will that either be a millstone around your neck that will sink you, or will it be a platform that will launch you into greater revelation and greater things? And in Saul's life, the revelation that God gave him was a millstone, and it caused him to sink. Amen? Some parting thoughts. In a glance backward into chapter 13, before going onward into Saul's life, we pick up evidence of a heart prone toward pride, and thus prone to moving away from God. Wow. 1 Samuel 13:3-4 tells us that, right? Amen? And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Eba, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpets throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrew hear, and all Israel heard, that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines. But Saul didn't smite the Philistines, the garrison of the Philistines. And that Israel also had its abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. But that's not what happened. It was Jonathan. It was Jonathan smote the garrison, but Saul took the credit. Wow. Make no mistake, my friend. Signs of spiritual maturity. Signs of spiritual maturity and growth in being able to give honor where honor is due. Giving people their credit, stuff like that. But make no mistake, our past will go ahead and foreshadow our future. Let me say that again. Our past, the past that we do, will often foreshadow our future unless we allow God to work in our life. So the person that you are in the past will be the person that you are in the future unless you allow God to change your heart and change your life. Well, Saul did not allow God to change. You know, he started backsliding to the point that, well, we will see what happens to Saul here. Amen? Saul attributed Jonathan's victory to himself because of his selfishness. He was jealous of Jonathan. There was no correction in Saul of his form of idolatry, self-worship, and it grew. Self-worship is the core and fullness of Satan. Sometimes later in the life of Saul, it seemed in a much greater magnitude. You can see that in 1 Samuel 18:8. We're not going to go there, but anyway, you can go there and look at 1 Samuel 18:8 and see that. Where this self-worship and selfishness led to rebellion, disobedience, sin, and unto death by his own hands. Wow, by his own hands. Backsliding does not happen overnight. We do not wake up one morning and we have moved backwards from God. Backsliding is a gradual process of slowly moving away from God and his word in our lives. Backsliding happens in our heart. I say that again. Backsliding happens in our heart. But it openly manifests for all for us to see and hear. Backsliding is something a sinner, as I said, cannot do. Only a saint, only a Christian, only a believer can backslide. Paul warns us here. Take heed, brother, in Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brother, unless there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and in departing from the living God or in backsliding. We must take heed tonight not to move away from his word. We must not move away from his word. Both written and more important, let me say this again, more important, his spoken word. Revelation comes to us by reading the Bible, but we get more revelation, believe it or not, when God is able to speak to us. So if God speaks to us and we know that he's speaking to us, then we receive that revelation word. God will hold us more accountable for when God speaks to us than what we get through the Bible. Amen? Now that's kind of a deeper thought, but it's true. It's like when you're raising children. When you verbally tell your son or your daughter, you better not do that, or you could give them a piece of paper and say, here, read this. You better not do that. Well, which one is going to have more authority in your mind when you actually speak to your son or daughter? And it's the same thing in God. When God speaks to us, there's more authority come from the speaking than in from the reading of the Word of God. Now, both are important, but there's more revelation given to us from the speaking. Amen. So we must take heed tonight to move both in the written, but more in the spoken. If not, then we start down this path that Judah and Israel and Saul did. They backslid. You know, even Saul's armor bearer, Saul had to kill himself. Now that's sad. Saul had to kill himself, and his armor bearer, he said, "Kill me." He was talking to his armor bearer. He wanted the armor bearer to kill him. And the armor bearer knew that Saul, even though he was in a backslidden condition, backslidden away from God, that Saul was still the anointed of God. And the armor bearer said he could not kill him. And so Saul, the Bible says, had to fall on his own soul, on his own sword. Wow. That's where backsliding and walking away from revelation and walking away from the things of God will lead you. We must take heed and stay away from that backsliding and move into revelation, into the things that God has for us. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for your love. Father, Lord God, thank you for this time, Father, Lord God. Lord, we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God. Take this word, Father, Lord God. Lay it in our hearts. Let us meditate on this, Father, and we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God. Lord God, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, Father, Lord. Amen and amen. Amen.